Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Welcome back to hour number three of the Todd Alba Show here on a Friday, the 2nd of December, 2022. Live on location at UW Richland here at the Richland campus in Richland Center, the RC, as the kids like to call it. No, I'm not sure if they call that or not, but I like to call it. It started like the OC. Remember that show, the OC? Yeah, and then when I started calling it the RC, and I don't know. It never really took off, but maybe. Whether you're listening to us here in the RC on WRCE in Richland Center or on WXCO in beautiful Wausau, where they have the big holiday light parade tonight. If you like to do something in Wausau tonight, head on downtown to Wausau, the big light parade and all kinds of doings. Chad Holmes from the Chad Holmes Show was on yesterday talking to us about that. So that's something you could do. Or up in WXCE territory in beautiful Avery, where they have the Holly Jolly Stroll tomorrow night. With food and chili and lights and all kinds of festive things happening in and around the state of Wisconsin. Or perhaps you are streaming across the country. I know we have listeners down in Florida this morning. We have listeners in Texas this morning and across the state of Wisconsin. So wherever you are catching us, we appreciate you tuning in. Weather, winter is here. It is in the 30s and lower 40s for today. High wind warnings, so be aware of that. We are going to skip our usual what you need to know to get more time with our guest today, because what you need to know is that last week the UW system announced, along with UW Platteville, that they would be closing this campus for all intents and purposes. Joining us this morning are friends of the campus. We have John Poole, Linda Gentis, Orlean Emerson, and Kathy Fry. Dorothy Thompson joined us last hour via phone, and of course we had Kathy Sandin, former chancellor of the colleges, on last hour as well. I want to pick up, Linda, with you talking about the economic impact these two-year campuses have. And again, to remind our viewers, what's happening here could happen at UW-Barron, could happen at UW-Marathon or Stevens Point Wausau now. It could happen across the state. So pick up, if you will, please, on the economics. And again, you have dual hats in that you are a current county supervisor on the Richland County Board, as well as having experience here as a former staff member at UW-Richland.
That's true. And it's a little bit difficult situation. I have to be extremely professional as my role as supervisor, and we're trying to work within the system and with President Jay Rothman now on the transition. So I welcome his reaching out to us, hopefully, and that we can discuss some plans and what will happen there. But I'm going
to interrupt for a quick second. I think you make an important point, because maybe if we could do a little something with this program, that maybe we could at least get the point out. The people of Richland Center are not going to go quietly into the night. You know, we're not a bunch of wilting flowers out here. We actually have a little bit of backbone. And the four of you at this table, along with Dorothy Thompson, are a great example of that. So I hope that people, because I do know that people in the legislature and at Platteville are listening today. So just know, and if you think this is just going to go pushed off and people are just going to, you know, acquiesce and say, oh, thank you very much, you picked the wrong people to fight with.
So that's exactly what I thought when the friends of the campus decided to get together. I said, okay, I agree. We're not going out with a whimper. We're going out with telling the story of what happened and trying to make something out of this and see what can happen. So the saga actually begins with 2014 with the regionalization. And what that means to listeners who might not know is that it was decided through Ray Cross, but obviously through the Republican legislature, to reduce many of the spending within the UW colleges. So they put two colleges together. We had UW at Janesville, UW at Baraboo, Rock County, Baraboo, and Richland were combined. We shared one dean. We shared one marketing person. We shared one continuing education person. We shared other staff members that way. And we lost our direct contact because three people divided among three different campuses had a really hard time getting everything done.
Is it a fair analogy, perhaps, if you have maybe five families and you know, five sets of parents or providers taking care of kids, and suddenly you only have one, and you take them to the park and you say, well, I can't believe we lost a child.
You know? Well, and the other thing is they said that they were going to save money. And I believe I have my statistics right, that when you look it up in detail of saving the money, the only thing they saved was actually about the amount of money it paid to pay for the chancellor. The actual money savings was not there, but it did start to deplete our services and our access and our ability to teach and work with our students. Not only that, it was hard to even communicate with anybody about it, because we had had great communication among the UW colleges, and now we were losing that too. I'll just give one personal thing about this, because we'll go on to my current role later, is I was at that time the coordinator for the first year initiative program. And the UW system had touted that as a wonderful program to assist first year students, which is exactly what UW colleges and UW Richland was their purpose in life. And with that, they had some funding and we could have grants. And our college, UW Richland, got a grant every single year to help our faculty and staff and our students have even a better experience at their first year in college. And one of those was with the math instructor. As Chancellor Sandina talked about the math, we were having more and more students from the high school not entering regular college math. So we got the high schools, the grant paid for getting high school teachers, programs we've found around the state that were successful with our math teachers here, with math teachers from Southwest Tech.
More to come after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take it anymore. Very good. I love it. Absolutely. That is the attitude here. There are no sour pusses around this table. We are here to get something out, to get the message out. And you know what? If a system and Platteville, the Republican legislature, they thought that they were going to pull a fast one in Richland to get away with it, they don't pick the wrong fight right now, because there are some great people with some great attitude and in a good way. And fighting for the people in Richland Center. And again, we are talking today. Yes, sir, Aaron.
Yeah, if they want to come on and tell their side, they're more than welcome. But whether or not they do, as Linda said, we're not going out with a whimper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We invite people to come on. Hey, if Senator Markline or Representative Kurtz are listening, which they may be, give us a call. Our toll-free number is 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. If they want to call, we'll put them on the air. Absolutely. I'll be happy to have them on. But you're right. As Linda said, we will not go out with a whimper here. We are here at the Richland campus talking about the pending closure that was announced last week by the system. We have friends of the campus community here, John Poole, Linda Gentis, Orlene Emerson, Kathy Fry. Linda, before the break, you are a county board supervisor and a former faculty staff member here. Again, your perspective from the economic side.
Okay, well, I forgot to mention during regionalization that we also regionalized our recruiting system. And that was a real takeaway. As we said, the high school counselors, everyone was asking us who's going to come around. They had no contact. No one knew personally what was happening on this campus. And as you look at the data for the number of students and when it started to decline, that was the next year that all the student numbers started to decline. So the story does start with the regionalization and the saga after that.
Let me interrupt real quick and tell you a 30-second story. When this first broke and I was talking about this, I brought up the fact that when John Poole retired, they really never funded another person to take his place to be the recruiter. And I started talking about all the things that John would do to go to little tiny burgs like Wazika and Cazenovia and Weston. For those of you who don't know, they're very tiny enrollment rural school districts. And Aaron, who is from Manitowoc, I said, wait a minute, who is this guy? And I started describing John. He said, he came to my high school.
At least I think so. I might not be 100% right.
That's what Aaron said to you. I think I've seen it.
It sounded very familiar.
Did you ever get there?
Not that I recall.
John says not that I recall, but you went to places like that.
Well, because we generally recruited
in a 65-mile radius.
Right, which makes sense.
So like La Crosse area, Madison area,
but you were
all around.
Everywhere, you know, I tell people, because I've seen it both sides of it, you put in hours like a state legislator. I mean, going out late in the evening, sometimes early in the morning. So I just want to put that out there, that John's a very modest, humble guy, but without his dedication, I don't believe that enrollment ever would have reached the levels that it did without his commitment and having a position. So, Linda, to your point, once that was taken away, geez, surprise, surprise, enrollment started to fall off.
Exactly. And I need to tout one more thing about John Poole. He also went out to all the high schools and met with the parents and helped with their financial aid packets and explained everything in detail. Okay. So we were a hands-on campus and supportive. So I'll go back a little bit to the first year initiative. Just want to follow through that we did so many programs here that helped our faculty and staff meet. And when we did the math program, we were able to finance having a tutor in the residence halls in the evening. And we started to gather the data every year for the next, and this was started in 2002, that we were starting to gather the data every year on how the math students were progressing and if they were passing it. And with all this program, we were able to enable students to do much better. And I would like to say that the second year of regionalization, the first year initiative was one of the programs that was cut from the UW colleges. Thank you.
The slogan here used to be Richland Center or UW Richland, a great place to begin. And it was appropriate at the time.
And if I recall correctly, you volunteered, Linda, to continue the first year initiative at no cost.
That's true.
So once again, people in this community are saying, we'll foot the bill or not charge you, just because we care about this so much, and it falls basically on deaf ears. We'll come back to you, Linda, in your role as County Board Supervisor. I want to move to Norlene Emerson, somebody I've known nearly all my life and was in a lot of musicals, because your husband was the musical director here at the campus for several years. He was my director for band and choir here at Richland. And you also then, as you said earlier, ended up coming back and being a professor of geology and geography here. I never had you. I was gone by that time. I had Garrett Decker, whose picture is right there. And he always used to say, pass or fail for the semester. But you took, after Garrett retired, you took his place or a professor here. You wrote last night or night before to this group, you're saying that my story isn't special. I represent a lot of people. I'm not so sure that's true. I think you do have a special story. But share some of your thoughts as both someone who attended here, then came back as a professor, and kind of just your reflections.
Thank you, Todd. Yes, as I said in my introduction, I was a local farm kid and did not, one of those kids in high school that were in the middle of the class, not standing out, quiet, no self-confidence. So if this campus wouldn't have been here, there's no way I would have gone to college. I went to college because of this place. And the support I got here, you know, helped build my confidence, academic support, emotional support, all of it. I felt like I had found my people. This was my family. Mm-hmm. And even before I came here as a student, I had joined the Richland Outing Club, which was an outdoor activity club that the biologist and geologist here on campus had put together. So yeah, and then I went on and got degrees from, I could be a poster child for the UW system. I got degrees from various campuses, including UW-Platteville, and then was thrilled, truly, that I was able to come back here as a professor. So I am a great model of the Wisconsin idea, that the idea of bringing higher ed to the rural areas, to the local population, that was me, that was my story. And I love the fact that I came back here and could teach and could be a support to those other kinds of students that would not be going to college if it wasn't for this campus. And I, as we've been talking this morning, I do remember a particular student that, and I won't name names, but he just could not fathom the idea of transferring from here to Platteville because it was too big. Wow, he was so afraid of leaving here. And it took a lot of coaxing to say, you're going to be okay. You're going to be
and
okay.
And isn't that a great point, Arlene, is that what the purpose of these two-year campuses serve, and I can tell you this because this is something that my grandmother, when she helped found this campus and was the dean, believed in so much. She said, there are farm kids out there. There are rural kids who don't think that they can belong in a higher education. They can't even see themselves. Like, that's just something unattainable for me. And so I'll be very careful here. There are places in the world, we need people in the trades. We need people in the technical schools. We need people to serve in the military. Those are all options in order to go into direct workforce. I mean, I'm not saying that the university college career is right for every single person, but I think for those people out there that grew up in rural, I mean, we still have areas of this state that don't have broadband access. Mm-hmm. And I think for people who live and grow up in small towns and rural areas of Wisconsin, to your point, there are people who don't see themselves as even able to have the opportunity. And that's what these 2 years do.
Absolutely. And the way we used to operate as the UW colleges, we had one department. So the geography department was spread across the whole state. So we would get together. We would be in touch with what was happening in other parts of the state. Lots of support. I mean, I was the only professor of geology here, so I had no one else to talk to face daily about my discipline, which I'm passionate about. So my students became my colleagues. I mean, truly, I got them started in independent research projects that they would not have the opportunity to do, or using equipment that they would not be able to get their hands on until maybe grad school or, senior level at the 2 year. But a couple of other things that I want to mention, I am a member of the Richland County Campus Foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's been brought up a few times here this morning about we have fantastic, generous donors in this county. Mm-hmm. And because I've been on the foundation for close to two decades now, for a while, we were the largest foundation of any of the two-year schools and even larger than two of the four-year schools. Wow. Wow. In the system because of our generosity of our donors. And the whole purpose of the foundation is to support the students and the faculty staff that are here.
And correct me if I'm wrong, for at least the last couple of semesters, you've essentially offered full scholarships to people who wanted to attend here through the foundation. Is that true, or at least partial scholarships?
Not a full ride, although we have some that are full rides, but not to every incoming student. But for every incoming student, yes, it was called the Richland Promise, and every student that enrolled got $1,200.
So imagine, I just want to take a time out here. So imagine that if only there were a marketing arm and the people to get this message out, how many people would say, geez, I'll take $1,200?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's incredible. I don't know any place else that's happening right now.
Yeah. And to be clear, that's a beginning point. So students could earn other scholarships, could have other scholarships. Right. So yes, they could have a full ride.
It just shows, again, another layer of the local commitment.
And plus tuition is lower here.
Yes. Yes. Right. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. And as you mentioned, we have a property called the Smart Farm, named after May and Joseph Smart, who were the landowners that bequeathed it to the foundation. And we have for years wanted to engage student staff programs up there, worked with Platteville.
And as it turns out, your chancellor actually had a plan to partner with the Ag School at Madison to make that happen.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing of that. And it just really saddens me that I didn't know about that. The foundation didn't know that was happening.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. About a minute before break, Orlean, anything else you want to give in before break? We can come back and pick it up.
Sure. Two things. Your grandmother was a role model to me, you know, being a woman in a position like she had, and me in a discipline that was mostly male in geology, she was a very wonderful role model that, wow, women can do this. And also I want to mention that the whole idea of shared governance, mm-hmm. that we operated, that everyone had a voice, staff, faculty, administration, everyone had a voice. Yeah. And that's totally gone now.
Yeah.
We don't have that shared governance.
It is unfortunate that things have changed. We have to take a break here very soon. But yes, like Grandmother Marge Wallace, I told people at her funeral, I said her legacy does not belong to me. It belongs to her daughters and her granddaughters, because she really believed. She came from a family where her dad said, my great-grandfather said, I don't believe in girls going to school. And she ended up being a dean of a university. So she was a role model to many. We'll come back. These folks are role models as well. We'll talk with them more after this on the Todd Altball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Radio Network. I kind of cut out there, Aaron, in my headset. What did you dial up for us this break?
I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I Wish by Stevie Wonder. Absolutely. A little Stevie Wonder. Always a good thing for you. I Wish. A great lead-in. We are here live at the UW Richland campus in Richland Center, Wisconsin, talking about the pending closure that was announced last week by System and Platteville. And we are here with a panel of friends of the campus, John Poole and the dentist, Arlene Emerson and Kathy Fry. And I Wish is a good segue into, if you haven't done so, by the way, if you live in the Richland Center area, get down to your local filling station. Geez, I call it a filling station. My grandparents used to. See, that's my Richland Center coming out there. That's my RC, baby. Go down to your local gas station or whatever you want to go. Pick yourself up a copy of the Richland Observer, which I have right here in my hot little hands. Longtime editor and former owner, but he still writes for the Richland Observer here in town, Eric Olson. With a great column. I won't read the whole thing to you, but the last couple of sentences here. So much for the University of Wisconsin's effort to take the school to the far corners of the state. At the least, officials ought to conduct an investigation to determine who has dropped the ball. Absolutely in agreement with Eric Olson in this week's paper. When I used to be in the Schultz office, I sat next to my longtime colleague, Tom Jackson. And TJ listens in every once in a while, and he'll remember this because I used to kind of tick people off, and I would ask questions, and people would get a little upset, all for our constituents. And one often Jackson would look over at me and he'd say, "TA, you know what you are?" I'd say, "What?" He'd say, "You are a pot stirrer. You're stirring up the pot." And I said, yes, it's exactly what I'm doing. And that's part of this program, right? To stir the pot in a good way, to kind of expose things that are happening and try to fix them if we can and improve them moving forward. So that is the point of this program today, to get to the bottom of some of this. As Aaron has said earlier, if you missed any part of today's show, this extravaganza, if you will, you could go on to civicmedia.us, www.civicmedia.us. Go to shows, find the Todd Altball Show, and all of today's segments with all of our guests will be archived there to listen to in podcast form. Of course, you can always listen to us on the Civic Media app. Go to your app store, go to Civic Media, download that puppy. It takes about 30 seconds. It's free. Scroll down on other stations to WRCE, and then you can listen to us each and every day. Aaron, what do you got?
Yeah, you can also, I forgot to mention earlier, listen to the podcast on any place you normally listen to podcasts, like Apple Music, Spotify, or Stitcher.
Thank you. See, I'm not so smart with technology. Aaron reminds us, go to any place you get your podcast, Apple or Stitcher or Stitch in Time Saves Nine, or have a quilt. I don't know. Quilt music. I don't know. See, that's what an idiot I am. But I am joined by smarter people than I. Norlene Emerson, before the break, you were talking about some of your experiences that you had and reflections, both as a student and a professor, and the impact that it's made in your life in women, but also in students' rural areas.
Yes. And the international program was so impactful to me personally and my department as a geologist teaching natural disasters courses, et cetera. I could say something about an earthquake that happened in this country or a volcano that was erupting in that country where we were not right here in Richland Center, not in an area of volcanoes or earthquakes, et cetera. And I could look at the students that were from these countries and they experienced those earthquakes or whatever. And some of those students that came, international students that came, would take my class, which is so true for geology as a whole. Most students don't go into geology because they have a passion for it. It's a discovery. It's like, I got to take a science class. I don't want to take this, this, or this, so I'll take geology. And then they fall in love with it. And that happened here with the international students. So there are a few that I'm still in contact with. One from Switzerland that went in to be a geologist, has her master's in geology, and we get together every so often. I've gone to Switzerland, we've hiked, New Zealand, we've hiked together. We just, this summer, we went to the Cascades to hike, one from Ukraine. So anyway, these are lifelong connections that have been made. And it was so wonderful to bring that global picture to our little Southwest Wisconsin.
That is a great segue into our next guest, Kathy Fry, who I met through the international student program. And to your point, I'll never forget, I was sitting in Jean Berkus' English class when I was a student here. We had to do demonstration speeches. And one of our, Linda may remember from Guatemala, he was my, I was his ambassador to him, Luis Alvarado from Guatemala. And his demonstration speech in Jean Berkus' English class was how to make a Molotov cocktail. And she's, what? A Molotov? Cocktail. But I mean, that was his experience. Guatemala at the time was going through a civil war, and it was something, a survival thing. Mm-hmm. And you learn, to your point, that I mean, I have said 100 times, and I'm going to let Kathy talk in a second, and I don't say this lightly. I really don't. My life was altered because of the international program here and the commitment to Linda Gentis and people like her, the commitment to host families like Kathy Fry, because I got some of my closest friends in my life from that program.
I just like to add that was in a different milieu when Republicans were working with education, and it was Senator Casten, who was a Republican, who helped us learn about this program and bring it to Richland Center.
Thank you, Linda, for doing that. I really do appreciate that. And I think that's an important point to make, that it wasn't always this Republican-Democrat, super partisanized thing. Bob Casten, former U.S. Senator, Republican from Wisconsin, got the funding through USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development. One of our former deans, the late Tom Oates, was instrumental in helping Georgetown fund this program, where they brought, they picked out students who were academically very high, but came from literally dirt poor families that would have never gotten education, brought them here on 2-year rides with the understanding they would go back and help their own country. Because Bob Casten said, well, geez, why are we spending all this money on bombs and a full war with the Soviet Union at the time? Why not actually help people better themselves and then have them go back to their country and help spread democracy person to person? And instrumental in that was Kathy Fry and her family, who were host families. Kathy, tell us about your experience. I am very, very unbiased, or very biased, I should say, because Kathy was a host for Florcy Day America, who is now Florcy Kohler, the mother of my 2 godsons. And tell us about your experience.
We first started hosting students through the campus in 1989, the CASP program, Central American Scholarship Program. Our first student was from Honduras. When those kids came, there was no internet. There was no, the only way that you could communicate was either a long distance phone call or a letter. So the communication was nothing like it is today. They did not know a thing about where they were going. They came in the night. I remember picking Anna up. In the student center at about 10 o'clock at night, the poor kid was bewildered, had no idea where she was. And I spoke no Spanish. She spoke no English. So I will tell you that we had a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old at the time, which was a great icebreaker. So if anybody's out there that has younger children and says, I don't think I can host because I have little kids, I don't buy that argument. It's a great icebreaker for the student, and it also will give your kids an experience that they would never, ever be able to have. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of these exchange programs.
One of the first, one of the times Linda had the ambassadors go down and meet one of the groups of students at the airport, Madison. And I didn't hardly know any Spanish. And I from Esperanza Vasquez taught me how to say, you know, hola, mi nombre es Todd. My name is Todd. Mi nombre es Todd. So all the way down, I'm bienvenido. Welcome to Wisconsin. Bienvenido a Madison. Mi nombre es Todd. I'm practicing all the way down the bus, all the way down. And I see the first CASP student get off the plane, and he walks up to me, and I say, bienvenido. Mi nombre es Todd. And Eugene Guy from Belize looked at me, and he said, man, I'm Belize. I don't speak Spanish. True story. And unfortunately, Eugene is no longer with us. He passed away several years ago, but a wonderful guy. But it's those initial meetings, right, Kathy?
It is. And that's why this campus and other programs that bring these international students here are so important, because our kids here don't get a chance. Many times kids here don't even leave the state ever. The only way that you would ever meet somebody from another country is through exchange. So we hosted that first year with Anna, and the program was 2 years. The kids came for 2 years. The first year they spent with a host family. The second year they were encouraged to learn to be independent and live in an apartment or change. So the second student we hosted was Flor, and I had learned enough Spanish in the summer taking a continuing ed program to be able to talk a little bit with her. And I will never forget one night, it was probably in about October, we sat down and she explained to me she spoke very slowly in Spanish so I could understand, and explained what her life was like in El Salvador. And I cannot even imagine living a life like that in the 20th or 21st century. There's a couple points I want to make before we run out of time. Not only is the international program important because of the campus, but also I worked for the school district for 16 years, and I know that many of the students in the high school and Ithaca High School and Weston and all the surrounding schools have a chance to take dual credit. And that gets them so much farther ahead when they do go to college. They've already got credits. They've got maybe half a year or a year's worth of credits. And I don't know how that's going to work. The proximity of the campus and the high school here made it so easy. I know several students who would walk over. They'd go to high school in the morning, and they would walk over to the campus in the afternoon for classes, and they were earning credit in both places. So that gave them a great start, and it was inexpensive for them. And it was just a good opportunity. And I really hesitate to keep saying was. I'm not giving up on this yet.
I think that's an important point. And just really quick before we leave this, it not only affected and changed the students from other countries' lives and individual lives, it changed this community.
Yes, it did. And this community has been very supportive of students coming from other countries. And in my role at the school district, after Judy Barnacle retired, I took up the extracurricular activity of being the foreign exchange director over there. And I'm still doing that. And this year we have 10 students at the high school. Last year we had 10 students at the high school. I know that several of the students from Eagle School, they always have a lot of exchange students, and their whole program was to go to Eagle and then come here and then go on to other campuses. So that is going to be, you know, it's going to be lost if something doesn't change here.
One of the things that I've said in this program before that I'm a huge believer in, we fear what we do not understand. Mm-hmm. And how many times, whether it's racism, homophobia, misogynistic remarks, it's because we don't understand people.
Right. And the only way that you really get to know a person is to actually spend time with them and live with them. You can read about them in a book.
That much is true.
You can read about them in a book, but it isn't, you can't touch the experience of having actually lived with a person. We've hosted about 25 students from all over the world. Last summer, or last fall, just this past September, we were able to go to Europe and meet 9 of them. We got them all together and it was like a huge family and they were from everywhere.
And what we find, of course, Kathy, is that we're so much more alike than we are different.
That is so true.
You know, the things, the weird things we do in our own families, people do that all over the world. And the things that bind us together are our likenesses, right?
Right. Everyone wants the same thing. We all want to have a good life. We want to have a happy family. We want to have friends.
And what we want is for this campus to stay open. And we're going to talk about what the friends are doing to make that happen and trying to make that happen and where we go from here in our final segment. We'll come back and talk more. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show live at the Richland campus on the Civic Media Radio Network. Outro song on the Todd Allball Show here each and every day, generally speaking, is a song by a group called Dead Man Ball called Bang on Your Drum. And if you dialed up and listened to the words, I love it because it just keeps saying saying that no matter what you believe in, no matter what you want to do, keep banging on your drum because your day will come. And optimism and strength are great uniters in a cause. And the people at this table today, John Poole, Linda Gentis, Arlene Emerson, Kathy Fry, and earlier we had Dorothy Thompson with us as well, are examples of that. I want to thank you all for being here today. With the time that we have left, this is not necessarily over. We're realists here. It's an uphill battle. You've already written a letter, my understanding, to the governor, Tony Evers, or will be, and are doing other things to get some meetings with people who might be able to change this. And John Poole talked about what might be next.
Well, this has been a really good start, Todd, because I think one of the goals that we outlined at our meeting earlier this week was to really get the word out to people in the area as to how this came to this point. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to think that this was just something that nothing could be done about, but we want people to understand everything that went into this ultimate decision.
If I can just interrupt real quick, I want to reiterate, because you guys are all very modest, everything I know, and I'm somebody who tells it like it is, or I sure try to, if I thought somebody here would drop the ball at this campus, I'd say so. But everything I know and hear is that the locals, from the mayor to the county board chair to the county board to the friends of the campus to the local folks, have done everything they can for a number of years while these things were coming on. So I want to make that clear, and that the results of where we are from people other than the locals here. You guys are all my heroes.
Well, and I think what you're saying is absolutely true. This whole thing has come from other sources.
And we discussed that.
From us. Yeah. So right now, what we are planning to do, we have not yet sent a letter, but we will be sending a letter to the governor, to Jay Rothman, president of the UW system, to State Senator Howard Markline, who is our state senator, and State Representative Tony Kurtz, hoping that we can get a meeting with them to discuss options going forward. We already do have someone who has put in a word to someone in the governor's office. And so that is already beginning to percolate a little bit. We have a Facebook page, Save Our UW Richland.
Save Our UW Richland. Eric Zommers, our great producer, can help us get the word out on that.
Save Our UW Richland.
Save Our UW Richland.
Right. And then we also have a petition online at change.org. So that's change.org. Save Our UW Richland.
Very good.
And just so to clarify, for some, there's been some confusion. There is no cost involved in signing that petition. I think in the beginning, it was asked that people would donate some money that would go to change.org to help them do these things. But you can sign the petition and not pay any money.
Right.
So those are a few of the things that are going.
Linda, you want to talk a little bit from your standpoint, from a county board standpoint, as far as governance here locally, what might be happening next?
Well, we're in the midst of trying to figure out what will happen. As you know, the county has supported this campus since 1965. We bought the land for $100,000 from the McCauley family, which was a lot of money for 1965. I happen to know somebody else who bought a farm in 1966 for $6,000 for 160 acres. And it was well put together. It's a lovely campus. As you said, the jewel. Everyone who comes here recently, there was a search committee for the new chancellor at Platteville. And Chris Peterson said, this is one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever seen. And we, and for the regents, that she was a regent. The county has 135 acres here, $96,000, 96,000 square feet, some square feet of buildings.
Right.
The state now is probably going to renege on the lease that we had until 2044. We're not sure about that yet. The county is in a stalemate and completely confounded about what to do now with these wonderful buildings and this wonderful resource, and that the community has supported it through tax dollars all these years. And we do not want to see a beautiful facility go to waste and not be used for its educational purpose.
And let people know, this is not the end. This is not the only show we're going to do on this. We might not do 3 hours again, but we are going to have you folks or some of you back at different times over the days and weeks ahead to help however we can. That is our commitment here on our show and from Civic Media to be an asset however we can. Linda, you pointed out to me and County Board Chair Marty Brewer, there is a resolution passed by the Richland County Board that went to the Wisconsin Counties Association. I have about 3 minutes left here. The shared revenue, the state support for UW Richland, has decreased 28% between, if you compare it to 2015-2016. So again, this is the Republican state legislature that has cut the funding. They're expecting the locals to pick it up. And you folks at the county board are looking. I just saw yesterday the sheriff is saying they don't have money. So all these people back the badge. Republicans want to back the badge. But where the heck is the money to back the badge?
Well, I find that very interesting because they say that all the time and they don't seem to realize that they're paying much less for our mandated programs than they were in 2001. And then 2010, it went way far down. And with the inflationary rate, it should be going up to much more. So the fact that we can't get the money to pay for our mandated programs, that's hurting our unmandated programs, which is UW Richland is part of it. And so we are looking at costs for buildings and roofs and HVAC systems. So this is really a double punch to us, the fact that they are going out of the lease and that the fact that the legislature is not funding us, not only the university, but not funding the county programs. So I just want to say one more thing. Right now, I'm chair of the Education County Standing Committee, which has the oversight of the buildings. We have sent an email to President Jay Rothman, who we highly respect, who we are hoping will come to our next Education Committee meeting on December 12th.
I'd be nice to see him.
I would love to see him.
I want to get this out before we have to go. Okay. John Poole, once again, where can people, if they want to get involved, those websites again, please?
Sure. The Facebook page, Save Our UW Richland.
Save Our UW Richland on Facebook.
And the online petition is change.org. Save Our UW Richland.
Change.org. Save Our UW Richland. John Poole, Linda Gentis, Norlene Emerson, and Kathy Fry and Dorothy Thompson from earlier, also former Chancellor Kathy Sandine. I thank each of you for taking your entire morning and being here. These are great messages. We are going to support you. We're going to support this community. That's what Civic Media is about. That's what the Todd Allball Show is about. And we're going to be here to help however we can do it. My grandma, I can't speak for her, but she her Bohemian blood would be saying, keep on fighting. Don't give up. We're going to do whatever we can and be here for this campus and for this community. We thank you for listening. Don't forget you can pick up any of this stuff on civicmedia.us. Listen to us then. Eric Zommer is our producer. Thank you for everything. Happy birthday, my friend. You all have a great day and keep banging on your drums.